This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 10th of October, 1954. The title of this lecture is Route 1, Step 11. This tape is 15 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Okay. Here we have, now, Route 1, Step 11. R111. Have pre-clear be problems and solutions in happiness. And this would, of course, be sequitur in having him disabused him of his most favorite idea that two things cannot occupy the same space. Having disabused him of this obvious, known, practical, and convincing idea, we would be able to go on to R111. Or, having failed utterly to disabuse him of it, you know, having failed utterly in R110, we would go on to R111. Now, you see, you could fail in R110. You could fail by not running it long enough, by having a preclear who's having a lot of difficulty while exteriorized, by having had this preclear be sloppily audited before. You know, there'd be various reasons. And you've asked him this question, what things wouldn't you mind occupying your same space? And boy, he's vague, and he's this way and that. And after you run it for a little while, he gets unhappy, and then you get it kind of flat. But you're not satisfied with it at all. You could actually just go on to R111. You weren't getting any place with it. That's not to encourage you to change a process just because it isn't getting a result. And I'm just telling you that R111 is independent of R110. Why is it? Well, we're in a basic process again, you see? And do you know that all those basic processes, conceding the fact that the remedy of happiness and spotting spots are actually very much associated with each other, all those basic processes are workable processes. And here we've simply moved on to two-way communication. And we'll see back here at the beginning, we asked him if he had any present time problems. You know, we got into communication by talking about problems. Well, here, tucked way down here at R111, we have a basic process. This is a basic process. You could have started a process of this character the first time you ever talked to him. You could have started this process if you just had been introduced to him. So it's got to be in R1 someplace, so it's just there. It's not dependent on the one above it, below it. Problems and solutions in happiness. Now, you'll also discover this over here in a later process, won't you? You will discover that this could have followed opening procedure by duplication. And you'll find it again appearing as R220, use of problems and solutions. Another way to run it, but it's still a very basic process, two-way communication. It's a problem that you're in communication with him at all. So this fellow's exteriorized, and we use this form when we have somebody out of his body. You know, he's exteriorized. He's an awareness of awareness unit. He's aware of his differentiation. He's somewhere up close to clear. He's still associated with energy masses or something of the sort. Well, a thetan is unhappy unless he can have a few problems, and so on. And you could ask him, what kind of a problem can you be in having this? Specialized use. What kind of problem could you be in having this? It's rather significant, but he will give you some problems he could be in having this. Let me see. I could be a pauper, and I could be this and that. And all of a sudden, it will occur to him sooner or later as you're asking that question over and over again, I could be exteriorized. That's one of the reasons he's not stabilizing outside. He's being a problem in having this. You know, there's the body, and there he is. He should be in the body. If he's in the body, he has it. Actually, he's having to hide, protect, and own bodies in order to be happy in life. Well, that's a problem of havingness. Hiding bodies, hiding objects, hiding gold, burying treasure, that's a problem in havingness. Hiding, protecting, owning, these are problems in havingness. So you just go on asking this, what kind of a problem can you be in havingness? Well, we've sometimes used this along this line. What kind of a problem can you be in having this? And then what kind of a problem can you be in not having this? Just to shake it up, you know, to give him the idea. He gets having this as a positive and not having this as a negative affair. And this is just to make sure that you're covering all squares. So you'd ask him this question. He's exteriorized. You say, what kind of a problem can you be in having this? What's another kind of a problem could you be in having this? And you'd run that until its comm lag was pretty flat, and then you would say, what kind of a problem can you be in not having this? And give you some more problems you could be in not having this. the more problems you could be in not having this. And then we could run it a little longer until that communication lag was flat on that, and then we could ask him on X3R's, what kind of a problem can others be to you in having this? And again, what kind of problem could others be to you in having this? And then we'd say, what kind of a problem can others be to you in not having this? And right away he gets the feeling of the walls pulling the energy out of him as a Thetan, you know, parasites, people spanking around. What kind of a problem can others be to you in not having this? Brings up immediately the vacuum cleaner quality of this particular universe. It really pulls the energy out of people. And we would go on with that till its lag was flat, and then we could go into solutions and say, what kind of a solution can you be to having this? What kind of a solution can you be to not having this? In other words, we just use those questions. But every time we use a solution, we have reduced his problems, haven't we? You see, a lot of the places on the track where you find this individual stuck, it's when he's got attained suddenly a solution. What's a basic solution? What is the ultimate solution? The ultimate solution is demonstrated by this proposition. The solution to a problem is the problem. This is demonstrated in perfect duplication. The solution to a problem is the problem. If you have a solution to a problem, which is the problem, in other words, if you have duplicated the problem perfectly, the problem will cease to exist and you will have no energy, no mass, no location in space, and no time. Won't you? In other words, the solution to the problem is the problem. But the second that you did that perfect duplicate, you would have as-is the problem, which would leave you with nothing. So solutions are the most destructive things to havingness you ever saw in your life. Fellow gets a real top-flight solution, he'll wind up with nothing, won't he? And that is what people kick about when you talk to them about exteriorization. It is a solution. It is the solution to existence. Naturally. It has no further wavelengths. And a fellow actually can exteriorize into no position in time, you see, or location in space. I mean, if he can't place himself somewhere, he's in bad shape, but he basically can simply place himself somewhere, not being any place, you see. And he'd be an orientation point. But what a silly thing this is. People fight away from having solutions. Do you know that you got a black five and you ask him to really solve something, you know, make a perfect duplicate of the problem, he'd start to get sick at his stomach. You've asked him to look at nothing. Every time you ask one of these fellows who is figure, every time you ask one of these fellows to actually get a solution to the problem, he's liable to get sick. One of the finest things to make a person sick you ever saw in your life is come along, for instance, and point out the solution to the problem. The ultimate solution is nothingness. Be 3 feet back of your head. Now he's in perfect condition. But after a person has gone downscale to a point where he's very heavily embedded in energy and so forth, now nothingness becomes very antipathetic for him to look at. So if you start asking him about solutions, you start asking him, just willy-nilly asking him about what solutions he's had in the past. Give me some solutions you've arrived at. You know, you get sad. You give him some things. Well, now, what problems have you had in life? For a little while, until he gets the bank drained down too much. Well, he gets happier and happier and happier, you know. Oh, my parents were so mean to me, and my father beat me, and my mother beat my father, and they both beat my little brother, and that made me beat my dog. We all never had anything to eat but chicken and ice cream, and we had no place to sleep but a feather bed. Boy, I've had problems, problems, problems. I'm just about out of my mind. And you say, now, what solutions have you had in the past? What are some of your solutions? Solutions? Have I ever had a solution? Let's see. Solutions. Solutions. Yes, I had one. I left my family. It was a solution. Let's see. You trace back down the track and you find out that every solution is a reduction in havingness. You got that? Well, you dog, are sitting there asking a preacher to solve his case. Bells ring. He's liable just to sit there and give you more and more and more and more and more problems and more arduous and more involved and further down the line and so forth. Why? Because it'd make him awfully unhappy, he feels. If he is his body, a solution to the body is to have the body disappear utterly. You get in religion the fact that a great saint is supposed to be able to dematerialize his body. I don't know what he's dragging the body for or where he's taking it to. But this is supposed to be the stuff. That's just a booby trap on the line, you think. Actually, he himself is no mass. Well, a person has to be willing to solve something before he'll exteriorize. It's a little maxim I give you and bequeath to you. He has to be willing to attempt a solution before he will exteriorize. And he won't attempt a solution until he has a great number of problems. And until he knows down to the core of his awareness of awareness that he can dream up problems ad infinitum. So what's the goal of this process? He's a little bit unhappy about being exteriorized. He feels calmer, he feels better, but there's something a little bit queasy about it, unstable about it, and so forth. Well, the best thing that you can do to him, really, is show him that he hasn't had his hattiness go all to pieces. He can always have something more. Actually, being exteriorized and being free, he can now have far more easily than previously. Well, you just don't tell him that. You run this process, and he'll convince himself of it. Now, what problems can you be in happiness? And on and on and on. What's the limit and goal of the process? He'll at first believe that he could get a great many problems. He starts to invent them after a while, you see. You didn't tell him to invent them, but he will have to because he's drained the bank flat, which makes him very unhappy. He's got all problems which are obvious. Now he has to start dreaming them up. You say, now what about this business about problems? In happiness, now problems in happiness. How many of these do you think you could dream up? Well, I could dream up quite a few. That's not the answer you're looking for. The answer you're looking for is I could probably go on forever dreaming up problems in happiness and not happiness. Got that? I could probably go on forever. In other words, he has to have some conviction that he can invent an infinity of problems in happiness and not happiness. He must be able to invent an infinity of it and know that he can for him to stay stably exteriorized. You follow me? It's a very important process then, isn't it? But then we said that asking a fellow, what kind of problems could you be to yourself? What problems could you be to yourself? What kind of problems can you be to yourself? What kind of problems can you be to yourself? Give me some more problems that you could be to yourself. Some more problems you could be to yourself, and then for a little variation, what problems could others be to you? What problems could others be to you? What problems could others be to you? At first, it'd be a limited number, but quite a few. First, he's hard put for them. He doesn't want to surrender any. Now he starts dreaming some up. He could invent quite a few. Now he can invent an infinity of them. If he can invent an infinity of problems, he can exteriorize. Why? Because the solution is zero. The ultimate solution is zero. Recently I discovered the ultimate truth and the ultimate solution. Prove it too. It's right in your axioms in the printed edition. The ultimate truth and the ultimate solution. They're quite obvious. Therefore, an individual who is short on problems will not exteriorize. He has problems in lieu of objects. He has problems in lieu of happiness. You better have him have an infinity of problems before you go on upstairs to heavier masses. Okay? Very well. I hope you know how to run that particular process now. You should, because it's right there in two-way communication. And it's no different than that. You could ask this Satan the same thing that you would ask him in a two-way communication. What kind of problems could you be to yourself? What kind of problems could you be to yourself? All kinds of machines will start to show up, and all kinds of problem machines and so forth. That'll stop him from using all his daffy machinery, by the way, all his daffy machinery that he keeps inventing and showing up with and asking you to unmock and so forth. That's all set up there so he can have infinity of problems. He has problem-making machines and a problem-making family, and he has a problem-breaking-down car. Okay. That's all.